It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a Risk Five fish fry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of EE Journal's longstanding podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Yes, my friends, this week we're talking about Risk Five hardware, SOCs, techno signatures, and aliens. What else could you possibly want? So, you guys, the search for alien life just got a whole lot more interesting. With the help of a first-of-its-kind grant from NASA, the SETI Institute, and a team of esteemed researchers from across the United States. So first off, what the heck am I talking about? Okay, so for the past decade or so, astronomers throughout the world have been trying to find that life, or at least the simplest forms of life called biosignatures, might exist somewhere else in the universe. You see, these biosignatures, which on the most basic level are something that could indicate the presence of a biological process. They could be gases like methane or oxygen that could mean some sort of lifelike organism, maybe microorganisms or plants, thriving somewhere out there in the great expanse of the universe. But what if we've been looking for the wrong thing all of these years? What if we should have been looking for something completely different? And maybe instead of biological markers, maybe we should be looking for technological markers. So, what are we really looking at here? A team that includes researchers from the University of Rochester, Harvard, the Florida Institute of Technology, Pennsylvania State University, and a nonprofit called Blue Marble Space are embarking on a brand new research project called Characterizing Atmospheric Technosignatures to search the universe for signs of life via technosignatures, or detectable signs of past or present technology used on other planets. And specifically, the two technologies they're searching the universe for are air pollution and solar panels, and they may be way easier to detect than a whole decade of searching for biosignatures. So why is that? Well, first, solar panels are designed to absorb certain wavelengths of light, right? While other wavelengths are reflected. This team of researchers believes that they could create a specific spectral signature to detect the presence of that reflected light off of solar panels in distant exoplanets. The same goes for air pollution. This team contends that instead of focusing on natural gases, they will focus on artificial gases that don't occur in nature, like CFCs or chlorofluorocarbons. Adam Frank, University of Rochester professor working on this project, puts it like this. He says, "Our job is to say this wavelength is where you might see certain kinds of pollutants. This wavelength band is where you would see sunlight reflected off of solar panels. This way, astronomers observing a distant exoplanet will know where and what to look for if they're searching for technosignatures. So we might have found a new way to search for alien life in the universe. So what? Why is this NASA grant so cool? Well, it is the first NASA non-radio technosignature grant ever awarded. And not only that, it is the first grant awarded in 30 years that is SETI, or the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, specific. So, this new study did not come out of thin air. It's actually the continuation of Adam Frank, who is that professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Rochester's previous work on theoretical astrophysics and SETI, which included the development of a mathematical model to illustrate how a technological advanced population and its planet might develop or collapse together. The classification of hypothetical exo-civilizations based on their ability to harness energy, and even a thought experiment that asked if a previous long-extinct technological civilization on Earth would still be detectable today. Avi Loeb from Harvard University, one of the other researchers on this project, sums it up quite well. He says, "My hope is that using this grant, we will qualify new ways to probe signs of alien technological civilizations that are similar to or much more advanced than our own. The fundamental question we are trying to address is, are we alone? But I would add to that, even if we are alone right now, were we alone in the past?" Wow. So, if you want any further information about this study, how this team is going to build an online technosignature library, what other cool stuff the SETI organization is doing today, and why Adam Frank contends that aliens are not magic, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, from the world of technosignatures to the world of RISC-V and reconfigurable computing. I love my job. Let's bring in Sammy Chung from Effinix. Sammy and I are talking about the rise of RISC-V, the details of their new software-defined SoCs based on the RISC-V core, and why he thinks RISC-V is doing the right thing by running a long game. All right, let's go. Hi, Sammy. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Effinix all about?
Effinix is a very new generation's FPGA company. We have been around for 7 years, since 2017, since we started receiving substantial investment. We have been making moves in the industry. We, in less than 2.5 years, we roll out a complete product line called Triont, which is serving very well right now in the general purpose FPGA market, plus the emerging edge computing market. And all about Effinix, we carry with our disruptive technology, which is a privilege. And we want to establish ourselves to become everybody's FPGA brand that basically using our advantages in terms of power, value, quality, small form factor to serve the industry. Right now, with the current situation, with the economic situation, actually, it's a lot of customers calling us. And because we provide an exceptional value, which was derived from our technology. So on top of it, we have a very big vision and aspirations to have Effinix to be everywhere. As I mentioned, that our company focus is efficient, small, easy to use FPGA, and we want our technology, our products to be everywhere in the world. So Effinix everywhere is our ultimate ambitions.
I think that's a great ambition, Sammy. So you guys just announced the availability of a series of 3 software-defined SoCs based on the popular RISC-V core. So first off, tell me, why RISC-V in this case?
RISC-V has been very popular over the last few years, primarily itself. It's very well architect. On top of it, it's an open source architecture that invites a lot of innovators can put their ideas on top of it, which philosophical wise is very well aligned with what Effinix wants, right? We provide a fundamental FPGA platform. So the challenge and the mission is how to blend these two technology together. And we managed to do that just because the nature of RISC-V, it's easy to access, easy to put together. And we have had using the RISC-V technology to help our customers in all our production design up to date. Except just a couple of weeks ago, we made the announcement is we package up this technology and offer to our customer free. They don't need to go out there, A, to license a processor from someone. B, they have a template of SoC. They can start with the design already. They don't need to start from scratch. So the day for, let's say, innovator try to build an ASIC with a core, they don't need to go through all these challenges. They can just pick up, get on the Effinix website, get download the software and documentation, get a development kit, they can start designing next day. So now we make it easy for everyone. And just RISC-V is that easy to be accessible. Another aspect of RISC-V is really for the long term. It's not the general purpose. We understand that RISC-V has this open instruction set. And I mean, behind the scene, we probably cannot talk too much about detail what our ultimate technological goal with RISC-V. But imagine blending RISC-V with custom instruction set on our reconfigurable computing fabric. What can you build, right? Basically, that's a fundamental of reconfigurable computing that can accelerate various applications, including AI and some of the other things in edge computing in the long run. So I see that potential, and that is exactly why we decided not only use this as a service for existing customers, we package it up and offer to the public, and then we'll make this platform better. It's not just about RISC-V, it's not just about Athenex quantum fabric. It's a combination of both will become the standard in the future. That's how we see it.
I can see that. So, Sammy, these designs have been optimized for your Trion family of FPGAs, right? What kind of ranges and capabilities are we really talking about here?
Go back and look at Trion family. It's from 8,000 lookup table to 120,000 lookup table. And it has a various in terms of the resources in the I/O interconnect, embedded memory, etc. So we try to tailor three sets of cores. They have different system performance. They have varieties of resources in the I/O interconnect. It's kind of tailored more towards the amount of resources available to each of the hardware, which is like different chips. Again, once again, we did that. We provide a starting template. Customers can just use that to go for their own product productions. Or if they want to do some modifications, they are allowed to make that modification on their SoC design. If there's a very neat requirement that they need our help, I think clearly that based on business requirement, we can decide how to assist the customer to make their system better. It's very important that we tailor it according to the resources available on the different chips ranging from 8,000 lookup table to 120K lookup tables.
Okay, so Sammy, what if I need a little help with my next design? Can you guys help me with compiling and debugging my application code on that RISC-V core?
Answer is yes, through various channels. First of all, we have made it very easy in terms of through the documentation, how to work through it. The scope is the first step is without changing anything, they can just use whatever built as a template. And however, I think they to set it up, we haven't seen any particular issues and so on. And even a small simple questions, I mean, we have our own support hotline and also the ecosystem that can help them to achieve it very quickly. I think the more challenging one, if some of the specific design would like to enhance the features or change the combination of features, those will be more demanding. But up to now, I mean, those are not the hardest type of things to support. So we will be very happy to assist our customers to achieve their goal. Most of the feedback right now is they feel good. I mean, we are not trying to like roll out like a very fancy automated EDA tools and let people navigate it. It is a simple, straightforward, traditional, and ready to use templates. And people love it. I think either the right very expert user, they can navigate through very quickly. And then we actually attract quite a bit of a software-oriented innovator. And they may have less hardware design experience, but through the documentation, through the way we're simply describing it, they feel good about it. And they're more willing even to learn the part in the hardware setup right now. So that's what we see. So we expect with our support that you ask about that we can offer, it will tremendously add in value and expanding the set of customers on using Trion plus the RISC-V platforms.
Great. Okay, Sammy, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we've all been kind of locked down right now. Maybe we can't get to our favorite restaurant or have our favorite food. But if you could have one meal right now or one dish right now, doesn't matter where it's from, if the restaurant's open or not, what would you have?
Well, I think we have a favorite dish or bowl, whatever you call it, inside my house. We call it panda noodle.
Okay.
I don't know if you watched the movie Kung Fu Panda. So my two
sons,
9 years old and 6 years old, they were, I mean, we all love that, right? So
yeah.
Once in a while, I will cook a bowl of noodle soup for everyone. They have been watching this Kung Fu Panda repetitively. So I told them, do you guys want Kung Fu Panda noodles? Yeah, we want. So, I mean, the key part is not panda noodles. We always talk about the secret ingredient.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you remember that part, right? So we always joke about we have secret ingredient. The same way that no one could figure out FNA's secret ingredient.
I love it. Way to bring it all back. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, I think
we are selling panda noodles. So
hopefully, that's great.
Because of you, I'll call Mark and start saying that we want panda noodles from FNA.
Awesome. Well, Sammy, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for letting me here. Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast via Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. One last thing before I go. Earlier this week, I lost my biggest fan, who listened to my podcast even if he didn't understand anything I was talking about. So, thanks, Dad. Thanks for everything. For the week of June 26, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.